30 minutes with the compliments of Sagittarius.
June, too soon. July, stand by. August, we must. September, remember. October, soon over. November, all over.
An old mariner's rhyme. In preparation for this hurricane season, Sagicor General reminds you to take all necessary safety precautions to protect yourself, home, car, family, and business. Get the protection you need from Sagicor General. Give us a call at 431-2800 or email us at getcovered@sagicorgeneral.com. Sagicor General, wise financial thinking for life.
And we're all lined up and ready via the Zoom. Let me say greetings to Mr. Richard Smith, and it looks like Mr. Kerwin Motley, if I'm correct. Say yes, you're correct. If I'm not, please rectify. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Ronnie.
I guess I'm correct.
Good morning, Richard.
Yes, you are very correct, Ronnie.
Great to have you both on at this time on this wonderful Wednesday. And today, another day for us to learn much more. And let's start with the topic for today, the focus: household emergency plan. We hear so much about it. What is a household emergency plan?
Well, Ronnie, you know, this is very timely because after the events of last week, this is something that perhaps is on the minds of many persons in Barbados. So a household emergency plan is a plan for you and all the persons within your house to mitigate against the impact of various emergencies. I mean, in this time of the year, it could be a hurricane, a storm, but it could technically be a fire. It could technically be an earthquake. So many emergencies are out there. So the plan significantly reduces losses associated with the event. As I said, it could be a fire, it could be a flood, it could be a storm. And planning and exercising your plan, and what we would call a drill, can save your life. It can save the lives of family members and even your pets. So it's a significant plan that, you know, in various forms and iterations, every family, every household in Barbados should take the opportunity to make an emergency plan.
Now, there must be a way to do it.
Oh, yes. There is a couple different ways. But what we found works best for us is the systematic approach to it. So there are 8 elements that go into it. And I'll list the first 4, and I'll let Kerwin list the second 4. But going into every household emergency plan, you should first consider the specific needs of your family. You should create a go bag. You should know where you're going to go to. You should also stay connected or stay in contact. Those are the first 4 items that every household emergency plan should have.
And of course, we love our pets. So we would want to protect the pets. So part of the plan would involve making provisions for your pet. It is necessary. It don't have to be elaborate, but you should document your plan so that everybody is on the same page. You know what it is all about. So document it, write down something. And then, of course, part of the planning is to transfer the risk. And in transferring the risk, that's where the insurance will come in. So you make sure that you have adequate insurance. And then you don't know if it will work unless you exercise it. A plan on paper is worth nothing. So in order to see whether it will work, you need to exercise it. That means you need to go through a drill. You need to do something. It need not be elaborate, but something that will show you where the loopholes are that you can plug those holes, those gaps.
And how can the members of Sagicor assist in taking clients through that process?
Well, Ronnie, just what we're doing today is perhaps the first step. We share the information with the public so persons are aware. You know, oftentimes people may hear the term household emergency plan and think it's beyond their reach. Or they may feel, I don't know where to start. But you know, the Chinese say the journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step. So you need to start by taking that step. And we can actually go through the 8 steps sequentially. So first thing, as I said, we said before, you're going to consider the specific needs of your family. Now, every family is different. You may have young children, baby in arms in your home. So you need to obviously account for them because they're not going to be able to leave or pack a bag, etc. on their own. You may have the elderly. You may have infirm persons. You may have persons with special needs in terms of medical conditions that you need to consider them. So regardless of who is in your home, you need to make sure you include their specific needs in your emergency plan. What you can do is assign various tasks to the members of your household. And to be honest, you can even include the kids. So any kid above, let's say, 6 or 7, you can include them in their planning, in the planning, and assign them tasks that they can carry out to reduce the entire burden in executing the plan. So a 7 or 8 year old can perhaps pack, with your guidance, their own go bag, a bag that is comfortable for them and they can grab and move quickly. And that takes the burden off of you. And when we get further down, we go through how the planning and the execution of the plan then helps them to get comfortable in terms of the bags and so on. But assign the tasks and make sure that you have accounted for every single person in your household.
And of course, one of the things you need to do is to make sure in the plan that you know where to go, decide whether or not you're going to leave home in emergency, where you're going to go. Now, it may not be a hurricane, as Richard rightly stated, it could be a fire. So where would you go? You may go to a family member, you may go to a friend. So part of your planning is to know where to go. What route are you going to take to get there if your normal route is blocked? For example, like the incident we had last week, if a tree is across the road, power lines is in the road, you have an alternate route. So you need to plan where to go and how you would get there. Now, if as one gentleman said, his roof went, so he had to grab and go. If you think about that and your bike is too heavy, then you're going to have to leave it behind because you don't have time to take things out. So this is where the exercising come in, because if you exercise before, if you had walked the route before, if you had checked, you would realize that I can't manage this in an emergency. Now, having said that, you don't want to wait until the emergency is upon you to act, but sometimes you can't avoid it. So you want to plan properly, you want to prepare, you want to make sure that you exercise it. You want to stay connected to the family. And you want to make sure that you review your plan on a regular basis. And if you document it, at least your family will be familiar. Now, you can't pick up a little document and read, but at least if it's documented ever so often, you can review it, you can go through it to make sure that you've covered all the bases. And the question you ask, how many organizations provide some useful tips, including Sagicor. We provide useful tips to our customers in terms of our brochure, and you just tick the items and it just tell you the tick off items, tick the boxes as to whether or not you have this in place and what you need to do. So we give you some guidelines as to how you can go about creating a plan that can work for you and your household.
Ronnie, the four-legged members of your family should not be left out. So one of the things that you should do in your plan is to make provision for your pets. You know, sometimes you may want to leave your pets indoors. If you have small pets, like let's say a goldfish or something, and you're going to a family member, you can discuss with that family member ahead of time, is it okay if I bring my goldfish? Is it okay if I bring my canary? Even if, is it okay if I bring my Rottweiler? But obviously you need to discuss this ahead of time so that on their side, when they are planning, they're saying, well, you know, if it gets pretty bad, Kerwin is going to come over and he's going to bring his Rottweiler. So we're going to put the Rottweiler in the garage so that it doesn't interact with the cat. So you make those provisions, and obviously you don't want to wear out your welcome. So you would want to make sure you take adequate newspaper to collect drop-ins, adequate pet foods and so on, so that you have a clean environment at your guest, as you are a guest at someone else's home. So that becomes very important. And like Kerwin said, document your plan. You know, a good way of documenting your plan is to perhaps identify the 8 main bullet points and have them on a sheet of paper on your fridge. We tend to go into the fridge at least 20 times a day overall. So when you look at that, every time you go into the fridge, there's a constant reminder of your plan of action in the event of an emergency. So that persons are obviously constantly reminded of what happens. And that combined with the dry run, or what we call the drill, fire drill, evacuation drills, etc., then put you in the frame of mind. And what will happen is when you exercise your plan, you can actually then fine tune your plan a bit and work it so that you have the shortest possible evacuation time. An evacuation plan is no good if it takes you 20 minutes to execute. Ideally, you should be able to, from the get-go to the departure, be able to execute your evacuation plan in 3 minutes or less. And some entities think that 3 minutes is too long. So with practice, you do get the groove of it. And the good thing about the drills is then for the younger kids, it then takes some of the fear away from them. And they are prepared, they know what to expect, and then they become more manageable in the evacuation process. And of course, all of this goes to say you should also review your insurance, as Corinne rightfully say, how you can transfer some of that risk. With insurance, you know, you stand to know the difference, to be honest, between financial ruin and recovery. Because without insurance, you're going to have to rebuild or repair your house out of pocket. And that could be a significant investment there in itself. But with insurance, and especially if you have adequate insurance, then you would be well covered in the event of a natural disaster.
No doubt about that. We're live on VOB 92.9 FM with the compliments of Sagicor.
June, too soon. July, stand by. August, we must. September, remember. October, soon over. November, all over.
An old mariner's rhyme. In preparation for this hurricane season, Sagicor General reminds you to take all necessary safety precautions to protect yourself, home, car, family, and business. Get the protection you need from Sagicor General. Give us a call at 431-2800 or email us at getcovered@sagicorgeneral.com. Sagicor General, wise financial thinking for life.
Richard and Cohen linking up until 10 o'clock. I'm sure the cat will be happy that the Rottweiler will be in the garage and not interacting with the cat itself. That's a very key point. Not sure about the goldfish. I don't think the goldfish has any natural predators in the home. It's just a lack of care. So make sure you take care of the goldfish when you're making that move as well. But in 2021, that weather we had last week, it really emphasizes the need to get yourself sorted out as far as your insurance is concerned. Not only your personal insurance, life insurance, but your property insurance. It's, and then, of course, protection from the storm. What is the range of conditions that is covered in a policy, let's say, from Sagicor?
Well, if you have the comprehensive... Well, I'll let Corinne go ahead.
Rania, basically, your home, the entire home is covered. There are some conditions, of course, but you're covered not in terms of, you're covered against a particular event. So the event that occurred, let's say it's a storm, it's a fire, it's a hurricane, it's a flood. That is what you are covered for, the event. It covers your home if it is damaged, if it is destroyed because of a particular event. So what happened last week, you can get some coverage once a particular event is declared. Now, simply because a wind passed through and blew your roof off, don't mean that you are covered. What is the event that is covered? So sometimes insurance get a bad rep because persons don't understand what it is that they are paying for. So it is necessary to come in and have a chat with us so that we can explain to you what is covered. And once you know what is covered, then it gives you that peace of mind. Because if it isn't covered, the next question you should be asking, can I cover my home for this particular event? Not every single event is coverable by the insurance company will take on some risk, and there are some things that they will not take on. So, for example, you're not going to get cover for war. You're not going to get cover for terrorism activity. You're not going to get cover for mold, for example, even in this COVID environment, because those are beyond our control, and those are things that the risk is too high. But the insurance company will take on the risk of a hurricane, of a flood, of a burst pipe. Those sort of risks, insurance companies are willing to give you coverage against.
And Ronnie, you said your home. Not everyone is fortunate enough to have their own home. And I know there may be some persons listening who may think, well, this is not for me because I'm a tenant. I pay rent every month to a landlord. There's another aspect of insurance that those persons will be eligible and fall under, and that's what we call contents insurance. So you've rented a home and you've furnished it with your living room suite, your dining room suite, your stove, your fridge, your flat screen televisions, your computer, etc. And those items can be covered under a contents insurance policy. So that gives you a level of protection in the event that there is a natural disaster. And in an event where your landlord may be able to financially recover because his structure is insured. But without contents insurance, you, the tenant, then have the same financial burden of replacing these items. So even for tenants, we have contents insurance. That is the ideal thing for persons, definitely at this time in the year in particular. So if you're a tenant and you have not insured your contents within your home, now may be a good time to reach out to us at Sagicor General at 431-2800. That's 431-2800. To have a chat with one of our insurance professionals as to how we can cover you, your home, or your contents against the storm.
Now, you mentioned...
I just want to add here that even Ronnie, even if you don't own the particular item, you may not own the building, but in the lease agreement, you may be responsible for certain aspects of the building, even though you don't own it.
Correct.
You still have a financial obligation. And once you may suffer that loss, once is that possibility that you can suffer a loss, then you can cover that loss. So you don't actually have to own it. You must be in a position where you stand to lose financially. And then you can transfer that risk to an insurance company.
Okay, Richard mentioned the telephone number to call. COVID-19 protocols for those that actually make a physical visit, if they are facilitated. And if they are, how is that done?
Yes, we are still seeing customers physically. And I would just remind persons that we would have moved to the Sagicor Financial Center in Collymore Rock. So we're no longer at Haggett Hall. So you can come on down to Sagicor in Collymore Rock and get all your Sagicor insurances in one place. If you want to come in, we're open from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., Monday to Friday. Physical distancing is recognized. You have the sanitization protocols. You have the safety and security protocols in place. So persons are welcomed, and we do take your health and safety seriously. So we will institute all the necessary protocols when you arrive. If you're not comfortable and you prefer to social distance even further, and you can give us a call, you can send us an email, you can visit our website. So we have various ways that you can interact with us. And, you know, some people may think that, you know, how do I purchase insurance in a remote world? Well, we've actually looked at that, and that is something that you can do. So your documents and everything can be submitted electronically. We will provide documentation to you, as well as a checklist of the items that you would need to provide to us and so on, all electronically. And you can even make your payments electronically. You can pay using your credit card. You can pay via SurePay online. You can also pay via SurePay in person. And a couple of the banks even allow you to pay your Sagicor insurance via their online portals. And those banks would include places like First Citizens, First Caribbean, and Bank of Nova Scotia. So there are lots of options. Either way, if you want to come in person and observe the protocols of social distancing, or if you want to transact business in a more virtual environment with Sagicor, that is also available as well.
VOB 92.9 FM, live with the compliments of Sanjay Kaur.
June, too soon. July, stand by. August, we must. September, remember. October, soon over. November, all over.
An old mariner's rhyme. In preparation for this hurricane season, Sagicor General reminds you to take all necessary safety precautions to protect yourself, home, car, family, and business. Get the protection you need from Sagicor General. Give us a call at 431-2800 or email us at getcovered@sagicorgeneral.com. Sagicor General, wise financial thinking for life.
That's true. 9 minutes to the hour of 10 o'clock, and we have Richard and Cohen live via Zoom. And we've been speaking about the household emergency plan and other things to consider while looking at your household emergency plan. A question related to that would be, how often should one update the household emergency plan?
Well, Ronnie, there are two things that I will say. One, at the very minimum, you should update your plan annually. You should make revisions annually. The most predictable period of possible emergencies, the hurricane season, a good time to review and make adjustments would probably be 3 to 4 months before the start of the Atlantic hurricane season. So perhaps a good time, maybe February or so. And that gives you time that when you identify weaknesses in your environment, whether it be, let's say, drainage, you have blocked, clogged guttering, you may want to add some hurricane straps, etc. It gives you a time that you don't necessarily have to take the financial burden in one fell swoop. You can split it up over the months preceding the hurricane season, and you can adequately prepare so that you are, you know, biting off a little bit what you can chew at one time. Also, if you move, you change address, the plan would also need to be reevaluated to determine the situational changes brought about by the new physical location. So you may have a new, let's say, emergency shelter area. The new area may be more prone to flooding. It may have a what we would call a roadside drain closer to your home. And I know a lot of people don't see it as part of their plan, but the roadside drain, to be honest, is, though it is maintained by the government, the impact can have significant consequences for you, the resident. So it may be a good idea to have a cursory look. Likewise, you would have a cursory look at any trees that are overhanging your utility lines, and you would call the utility companies to let them know of these trees that are encroaching on the lines. The other thing that you may look at as well too, Ronnie, is every time you use the plan, you should have within a week or so an evaluation of that plan and how it went for you. So you can identify any weaknesses in the plan, if any exist, and then you alter your plan to make that even stronger for the next time around. So, you know, there are a couple of different scenarios as to when you can update your household emergency plan, but at the very minimum, it should be looked at annually. And, you know, it is something that realistically, because it is an emergency plan and not a hurricane plan, it is something that really can stay on your radar 12 months of the year and can possibly even find that special place on your refrigerator held up with some magnets 12 months of the year as well. So regardless of the emergency, then you have planned and mitigated against the risk, and you are prepared to some extent for any eventualities.
Well, this is hurricane season. It's been pretty active, not this side of the world, but definitely it's been quite active already.
Yeah, we're already at Claudette.
But nevertheless, we have to prepare for the entire season. And that's the type of knowledge and wisdom that you're sharing. It's not that you're hoping for something to happen. You just want people to be prepared.
That's right, Ronnie. It's always better to prepare and nothing happen than something happens and you're not prepared. And I know the Met Office will from time to time get a bad rap for alerting us to the system. And then the impact may not be as significant as it could have been. Case in point, a couple of years back with Dorian. Dorian passed us as a tropical storm. And within 24 hours of passing Barbados was a Category 2 hurricane. And some people were a little upset that we didn't have the event that they thought they would have had. But when you look at the situation of our brothers and sisters in the Bahamas and the devastation and total destruction that they would have faced, you know, we are blessed to not have had that. But we also are cognizant of our brothers and sisters, because we all have friends and family in other Caribbean islands. So, you know, we spread the word of preparation, because you can never tell. You know, it is not an item in your outlook that pops up and says, Hurricane Ronnie is coming on the 27th of September, be prepared. You know, you don't have that sort of forecastability months in advance. The only thing you can do months in advance is to prepare. And you prepare for yourself, your entire household, your family. And of course, Ronnie, like we said before, you share this information with your friends and relatives, so that, you know, if there is a storm that does impact us and there are reports of damage in River Road, you would say, look, I know Ronnie. Ronnie had a plan. Ronnie was evacuating from River Road and he was going to go to Wildey because that's higher ground. So I can look for Ronnie in Wildey. I don't have to look for him in River Road. So if I see Ronnie's home or his office in River Road on the news destroyed, I don't have the automatic panic stricken feeling that Ronnie, you know, Ronnie was there, knowing full well that Ronnie would have alerted that he's evacuating, and we know in our plan where Ronnie will be. So stuff like that comes in very handy, and anything to reduce the psychological impact of these systems, Ronnie, is significant. We have been fortunate in that we've not had a direct hit since Jeanette. We came close with Tomas, and, you know, I remind people that Tomas was not a direct hit. So for persons under the age of 40 or so, Tomas is perhaps as bad as it got, but Tomas was not a direct hit, and I keep stating that. So you really need to be prepared. I don't wait for the Met Office to issue a bulletin to start to prepare. Start to prepare as early as you can.
I'd be far more comfortable if you said those 50 and under, but that's another discussion for another time. Regarding the policies and options that you offer, the cost... manageable?
Yes, they are. Costs are determined by a couple of different factors. Obviously, the cost of replacement and so on. So that's one of the factors. But obviously, in this times, we offer a range of payment plans. So, you know, you can, of course, you can make your insurance payment in one go. You can pay in up to 6 months, in which case there's no interest charged on any of those 6 monthly payments, and there are six consecutive payments. Or if you qualify, you can actually make your insurance payments in 10 months, in which case there is some interest that is borne on those payments over the 10-month period. So there you have several options. And, you know, if you want to know more, you can call us at 431-2800. You can visit the website at www.sagicor.com. That's www.sagicor.com. You can email us at sgi-info@sagicorgeneral.com. And, you know, for the younger persons who are more comfortable with social media, you can follow us and for more details and information on Facebook and Instagram.
Well, I'd like to thank you both for being a part of a tremendous experience today. Special thanks to you, Richard Smith, and Kerwin Motley, giving us all the information required on behalf of Sagicor. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Here's praying you have a safe day until we meet again.
That's right. We'll see you again next week at the same time.
Thank you very much, Ronnie. You have a good day and enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you.